Dr. Allison Rumner here with Cultivating Success. Tonight, I've got a really great guest on that's going to talk to you a little bit about leases and buying and the big mistakes that chiropractors make. So welcome, Colin.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So first of all, I'm just going to say that I am using your company after a little call with you. My lease is up in about a year and a half. And yeah, I just feel a lot better going into it. I was feeling really nervous, quite frankly, before we talked.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if you're a tenant and leases come up, you've got to deal with landlords. And the unfortunate reality is that most landlords are not that fun to deal with. And they're typically trying to prey on unrepresented tenants that are too busy, especially healthcare providers that they know are focused more on their practice, their staff, their community. And so they love people like you thinking you don't have time, you're too busy. And they can essentially just force you to do whatever they want to happen with the economics and the terms. And they love unrepresented tenants just like you.
Yeah. So why don't you tell people a little bit about, like, one, how you help healthcare providers and how you do it at no cost to them?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a tenant and buyer only firm that specializes in healthcare, meaning our only clients are chiropractors, dentists, physicians, veterinarians. We don't do any landlord or seller work. So we're never like on both sides of the transaction, or you don't know who the broker's working for. And essentially our model was birthed out of me being a landlord broker for many years and doing a lot of healthcare and just watching a number of unrepresented healthcare providers get completely annihilated during transactions, and they didn't even know it. And what I mean by that is the landlords would tell them, like, this is a market lease rate, no one's paying less than this, or we don't do this on a lease renewal. And the doctors would just say, I don't have time to deal with this. And they would just sign off on it. And, you know, unlike a concept of maybe you overpay by, you know, a dollar for a gallon of milk, in these scenarios, these people were overpaying by literally like $300,000, $400,000 over a 10-year period. And they're missing out on tons of concessions. And so that's how the company was formed. I just kept seeing doctors get taken advantage of at a very high level. And the landlords had professional representation, which was me or other people that I worked with. And so you had some of these extremely sophisticated professional landlords that negotiate for a living. And even they were taking the help of market experts. And then these doctors were showing up just too busy, didn't know who to call. On lease renewals, they didn't have the money to move, maybe, or they didn't think they could move. And so that's where the company came from. So our model is really simple. We only represent the healthcare provider, and we level the playing field in it, whether it's a lease negotiation, a purchase negotiation, whether it's a startup, a lease renewal, additional offices for scaling, and anything that has to do with your office space for a healthcare practice. And the way that we get paid is just like in residential real estate. If you've ever purchased a house and used an agent or a broker, they take half the commission from the listing agent. And so, you know, a lot of healthcare providers also make the mistake. They think, you know, if I don't use an agent or broker, then I'm going to save money. And that's incorrect, because the listing agent is just simply going to take a double commission. Or in an alternative scenario, the landlord will just keep that money in their pocket. So there's no savings. It's not like it's a for sale by owner where you're the one paying the commissions. You have the ability to have representation at no cost to you. And in most scenarios, not only is it going to save you a lot of time, a lot of energy, keep you out of the conflict and confrontation that's inherent in any high dollar negotiation, but it's also going to save you, hopefully, a significant amount of money as well.
Yeah. You know, I was just talking to a colleague of mine. He told me this crazy story about his snow removal. He was like, guess how much we have to pay for snow removal? I was like, I don't know, like 10 grand. He said $85,000 a year. And he looked it up and got another bid for like 14. And it's just because, like, I don't know, the landlord was like, the snow removal guy was like his brother or something crazy like that. Have you have other crazy stories like that?
Oh yeah. You'll find landlords that will try to pass through completely unrelated expenses. They'll inflate or gross up numbers that are unreasonable. We actually just had this yesterday. There's a large medical landlord purchased a medical building in Lowry, and they took the operating cost from like $8 a square foot to $17 a square foot. And sorry, not that your audience will know where Lowry is, but it's just a part of the Denver Metro, the submarket. And so they took operating costs that were like $8 a foot and increased them to $17 a square foot. And, you know, they're just padding every cost possible. And so, yeah, they will try to push stuff through that's unreasonable. They'll try to renovate properties and do capital improvements versus just maintenance and upkeep. And unfortunately, they will try to, you know, they'll try to extract everything they can out of the operating costs, and they'll try to charge you the highest lease rates. I mean, that's just, that's how the game's played. And I always try to like give a disclaimer before anyone gets mad at landlords, which you're free to get mad at them. But if you turn the table and you were selling your house and your house was worth, let's say, $1 million, and your broker said, hey, we can get $1.2 million. There's no inventory. There's several buyers in the area. I mean, you'd sell it for $1.2 million. Like, you wouldn't feel bad about it. You wouldn't say, all right, I'll sell it to you for $900,000 and give you a discount because I like you or because you asked. You'd say, you know, enjoy the house. You know, I'll take $1.2 million to closing. So it's just how the game's played. Landlords do things. Some do it upright. Some do it a little shady. And then others do things that are completely, you know, not equitable towards the other party. But it just is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reason I started this podcast is because, you know, chiropractors, and I think this is across the board of service-based industries, they want to put their head in the sand and not learn about any business interactions. And at the end of the day, yeah, it is just business. I mean, I'm a landlord, but like for, you know, residential, and of course we're going to try to get the best rent, but we also want good tenants too. So I understand that, like, if I think, oh, well, maybe I won't increase rent because these tenants have been really great. You know, I think that the same goes through, and hopefully that you have a negotiation that makes sense for both parties. But you can't put your head in the sand and just like pray that nothing is going to, it's going to be a fair deal for you. You know, I just think that that's sort of how a lot of chiropractors operate on many levels. And this is something, like you said, you know, especially someone that wants to keep their location, they're signing 5-year leases, 10-year leases, overpaying over 10 years. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And it's not just the lease rate. It's the fact that commercial landlords are accustomed to giving free rent, even on lease renewals. Like, you might think that's only a concession you get if you're a new tenant, but why would a new tenant get terms that are dramatically more in favor for them compared to an existing tenant that's paid the landlord faithfully for 7, 10, or 15 years? And so it's very common to get free rent. It's very common to lower your lease rate on a renewal. Oftentimes the annual increases in a lease outpace inflation or the market. And so it's very common to have that lease rate come back down to a lower number, not just automatically jump up. It's very common to get money to renovate a space. If you ask the question, what happens if I vacate this space? The answer typically, if the landlord's going to put a bunch of money in that space to attract a new tenant or give the new tenant a bunch of money to renovate the space. So why wouldn't they give you a portion of that? Maybe not as much as a new tenant, but at least something. And so you get all these different concepts as far as like lower lease rates, lower annual increases, but also then concessions like free rent, build out allowance, et cetera. And you add up all those numbers together. And it's typically, I mean, on the minimum, it's going to be tens of thousands, but it's typically like literally hundreds of thousands of dollars over a 10-year period.
Yeah, I was really, when I talked to you a couple days ago or maybe last week or something, I was super stoked to think about us getting a little renovation. Our carpet is like, it's pretty dirty. And I told my associate today, I was like, hey, I think we can, you know, get a little money for, because we don't need a whole bunch. It'd be a very small comparative if a new tenant moved in. And yeah, I didn't even think about that. Like when I was thinking about renewing my lease, I was like, I hope I just get favorable terms that are not a huge market increase. So I'd never even thought about free rent, all that. So I'm now looking forward to my renewal coming up.
Absolutely. And one of the cool things about that is typically you're going to have to wait until the new term commences to get the lower lease rate and the free rent, but the tenant improvement allowance or the renovation allowance, oftentimes landlords will let you have that right away. And so if you are renegotiating your lease, let's say 12 months in advance, which by the way, is the ideal time to start the process for most renewals. There are some exceptions to that, but you don't want to get behind the eight ball to where you have like 2 months left in your lease and then you don't have time to go to market and find a new space. The landlord knows you're in a compromised position then. But let's say you start the process 12 months in advance and then you come to terms, and let's say maybe you still have 9 or 10 months left in the lease or however fast you come to terms. In the vast majority of scenarios, they will let you take that money right away to renovate. So if you do have a space that's you know, just need some upkeep or some, you know, some cleanup, that's a great way to do it. And, you know, I think another, I call it a pro tip, it's pretty simple, but, you know, we get really accustomed to walking into the same environments on a daily basis, whether it's your house, it's your condo, apartment, your office space, and you just get used to seeing things the way they are. It's really good to get a fresh set of eyes and to have, you know, someone that you trust. It could be a patient that you trust that's going to be honest with you. Could be a staff member, a friend, and have them walk in your space and just say, what do you notice when you come in here? If you were scrutinizing it, and a lot of times they'll say things like, hey, listen, your carpet, it needs to go, or you need upgraded flooring, or, you know, there's every time you take a turn in a hallway, all the corners of the drywall are chipped, or the ceiling tiles are stained, or the lights look old. And it's just good to get a fresh set of eyes in there. And every one of those things are reasonable asks on a renewal. And if a new tenant comes in, they're going to ask for that. If it's old ceiling tiles or stained or dirty, they're going to say these need to be replaced. If the ceiling grid is really tainted or faded, they're going to say spray it. If the lights have like the old lens over them, the whole thing, not like the new ones, but like the old school lens over it, they're going to say, let's upgrade to an LED or something that's more energy efficient or looks better. And so those are all things that are very reasonable. And so, you know, having someone help you do that, a good broker will do that. They'll just be honest and say, look, this, we need to put some money in here. And another thing too is what things cost today is not what they cost 5 years ago. I mean, you look at what you could, you know, refloor an office floor and then repaint and upgrade ceiling tiles or lights. It's about two times today what it was just even 5-6 years ago. So making sure that you get the right allowance too, because you'll have a landlord say, oh, you know, we can do new carpet and paint for $6 a square foot. And it's like, I mean, we could do new carpet that looks worse than my current carpet for that much money, but we're not going to get good carpet for that. So those are all things that are important too.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Cause like me, especially, like I just like do not care, you know? And, so, but like to your point, like someone's coming in an office and we're a high price point for chiropractic, right? So someone comes in and if it doesn't look like that high price point, then I think that could negatively affect the office. Cause like for me, like I don't care, right? Cause I'm just, to your point, you're just showing up and looking at things, but man, you're giving me other things to look forward to, when you hopefully, Philip can come out and take a look since he has actually a color.
Yeah, no, in an ideal scenario, you know, you want people to focus exclusively on the quality of care that you provide, the fact that they can trust you, that you want to help them, that you're going to put their interests first, et cetera. And that's great. But before they get to that interaction, it's all visual. It's what's the building look like? What's the parking lot look like? Do I take an elevator, stairs? You know, how do I get there? Can I find it easily? Is it confusing? And then even that, just that door, like, is the door chipped? Is the door old? Should we spray it? Can we get a new door on there? Just all those things make a big impact. And again, like if we were going to look at properties and I picked you up in my car was fairly run down and it was dirty. It hadn't been detailed and the floor was dirty. And I mean, whether you liked me or you trust me or not, you know, you would be like, hey, this should probably be a better experience or cleaned up. And, you know, people just don't pay attention to those things.
Yeah. Well, definitely. You know, one thing I talk about with young chiropractors is what they're paying for is an experience. And yes, part of that is to get better, but like you can have people in your office that never get better, but they love the experience so much that they'll just keep coming because they love you, they love the experience. And so if you can make that office a place where they're just really, it's like they're little timeout in the day, it's their timeout they can breathe and not be bothered by their kids. And that's important. So, and that, I mean, I would just be honest with myself. That's one thing that I probably lack a little bit on because I'm just like, yeah, that's fine. But there's probably a lot that could be updated in the office.
Yeah. Well, the cool part is, again, on a renewal, you know, landlords aren't just going to throw unlimited funds at a deal. But if it's a 5 or 7 year renewal or a 10 year renewal or a 5, 7 or 10 year new deal, they're going to put money into that space. And I think most people could probably relate to this, but if you've ever moved out of a house or moved out of an apartment, you notice when all the furniture's gone, like how different the carpet looks, where there was furniture or wasn't furniture. You notice all the things on the wall and it does not look the same. And so landlords are accustomed to having people move out and they know they're going to put a lot more money into a space when a tenant vacates than if they just do a little bit of renovation. So while a landlord's not going to show you that card and say, please don't move out, like it's going to cost me a lot more if you move out, they're going to play it cool and say things like, well, we've got people interested in the space and we don't care what you do. And that's just all part of their posture, as if they're playing a really bad poker hand. The reality is they know it costs more if you vacate and they have to release that space. They're going to have downtime. They're going to have higher TI allowance or renovation. They're going to have build out periods where no one can even occupy because they're waiting to get permits. And then the city or the building department's telling them what you can or can't do. Then they're going to want free rents and they're going to come at after an aggressive lease rate. And so landlords know if a tenant who's been a good tenant, who pays on time, who contributes positively to the building or the complex, if they want to do a renewal and it's fair, they're going to make a lot more money there than they would if that tenant moves out. And so you say, well, why do landlords treat tenants poorly? The answer is because they're hoping that another option exists, which is you renew, but you just take whatever they give you. And that's what a good broker does, is they level the playing field. They let the landlord know, listen, I'm educated. This is what I do for a living. Just like you wouldn't try to pull the wool over Chipotle's eyes or Starbucks, like, you know, they're too intelligent. You need to put me in the same category because I'm a market expert. And because I'm helping my client, Dr. So-and-so, they're now a market expert. So let's get fair. Let's do a deal that works for both parties, but we're not going to let you take advantage of us. And again, that's not how you'd say it, but that's effectively what's happening in the negotiation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about lease versus purchase. I'm sure you get that question a lot. Like, should I buy my office and then therefore have forever same rent? Or is that too much upkeep for someone to do?
Yeah, there's a lot of variables that go into that question. It's one of the top ones we get. And so the very first place that we start is, are there any properties that are even for sale in your area? And that might seem foreign to some people because some people might be in a community where they see buildings for sale all over the place. And then other people might be in a very dense metro area. And the only properties for sale are entire office buildings or retail centers that are $10 million. And so you could have four or five options of purchase, or you could have none. So first things first is, are there properties available for sale? The next thing we get into is, can you afford the down payment? Do you have the capital or cash to put into the down payment for the financing? The next thing we get into is, can you afford the monthly payment? Because typically it's going to cost more to own than lease. Not always. There's times when it's actually less. And that's a no-brainer at that point, typically. But if it costs more to own than lease, can you afford it on a monthly basis from a cash flow perspective? And then you have to go one step further and realize, when you own commercial real estate, you get to pick up additional tax deductions. You can depreciate the real estate. And so you might have a scenario where maybe it costs $5,000 a month to own and it costs, let's say, $8,000 a month to purchase, but you're paying down $2,000 or $3,000 a month in principal, and then you're picking up additional tax deductions. So you could have an effective cost of ownership actually end up being less than leasing, even though the monthly face rate is a couple of thousand dollars higher. And you say, well, how do you get to those numbers? You just do a really detailed purchase versus lease analysis, and then the numbers will tell you the cost up front, the down payment, the cost to get into the deal, after principal pay down, after tax benefits and deductions, and then it'll spit out a final effective cost of ownership. And that'll tell you very clearly, you know, which one makes sense economically. And then the last thing I'd say is, you know, there's other variables. Like, if you just say, like, I want to show up, do my thing and go home, and I do not want to be bothered with meeting with an HVAC contractor if it goes out, or dealing with snow removal, or dealing with other tenants if it's a multi-tenant building, and I literally just want to show up, do my thing and go, you know, there's also the intangible of, I don't care if it makes more sense financially, I just don't want to deal with it. And so it's not always an economic, a lot of times it's an emotional of, like, no thank you, or my life's busy enough. And so, you know, I would say this though, if you go to market and you look at options to lease and options to purchase, and if you run the numbers and if you do your due diligence, it's going to become pretty clear you either have good options that make sense to own, or your options to lease are way better. And you're going to end up having a very strong intuition one way or the other as far as just what you like or don't like. And then the numbers typically seal the deal. So you don't have to predetermine in advance what you're going to do. The key is, hire an expert, go to market, look at all your options, and then it'll become very clear as you go through the process.
Well, I had a question. Does commercial real estate appreciate? Residential appreciates kind of, I don't know what, 3-5% a year, something like that, roughly?
Yeah. Historically, commercial real estate appreciates at a very high level as well. And a lot of times, commercial real estate is more stable than residential. And so if you look back over the last 20 plus years, we've had two major corrections. It was the 2001 correction and the 2007 and 8 correction. And both of those had, you know, major ties to the stock market, to the mortgage crisis, to wars, like large things internationally and nationally happening. residential tanks usually first and commercial lags behind it. And the reason being is because residential people panic or they get upside down quicker. Commercial people have longer term leases. They typically have more staying power. They're typically stronger financially. I mean, you can get in a house with nothing down these days, depending on the loan type, or 3% down. In commercial real estate, they've got to have more reserves and they've got to have more capital to do that. So typically residential dips and it dips harder than commercial, and commercial will dip as well, but it typically holds value at a higher level. And then residential might shoot up a little bit faster or higher too. But I mean, in today's day and age, I mean, it's all time high prices. So price per square foot on leases and price per square foot on purchases for commercial, we've never seen it this high in the 23 years that I've been doing this.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of information, I think, for people to digest. So maybe we'll just leave it at that. But look, working with you guys, you've been awesome, really upfront, straightforward, to the point, which I appreciate. There's no fluff in it. So I've enjoyed working with you so far, and I'm excited to see how the negotiations go in the next year or so. Anything else that you think people should know?
I would just say, you know, just treat any real estate transaction with a lot of respect and realize that it's not a question of whether or not you can call on a property. It's not a matter of whether you can say, send me a proposal, or you can put, you know, a pen to paper and sign a lease. Like, we're not talking about if you're capable of doing a deal. We're talking about if you're going to get the best results. And I will use a chiropractic analogy. You can walk up to your 18-year-old son and say, squeeze me as hard as you can and crack my back. That's probably not going to be the same game plan that you would give as a chiropractor. So can I make my back crack? Yes, I can. Is that really the best game plan for my health? No. If you're in dental, like, you're going to get braces, like, you can take a pair of pliers and pull your own son's tooth so he can get braces. There's a better game plan. You go to an oral surgeon. And so if you treat the transaction with respect and you bring in people that specialize, you're going to get superior results. Same reason someone would come to a specialist to have them help them diagnose their issue, figure out the best treatment plan, get them back in the game the way they want to be as fast as possible. It's the same thing with real estate. You can do a deal by yourself, but it's probably going to cost you 100 or 200 grand. So hire an expert, let them take care of you, and you're going to be very happy that you did.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on today, Colin. And we're going to put all of your, Carr is his company, his last name, Colin Carr. We're going to put all the information in the notes below. And it takes 3 seconds to get a hold of them, and they take a look for you. And you're not going to, what you told me on the phone, it's not going to get worse. Like, that you at the very best, if you're you get the same deal, is like the worst option.
The peace of mind's there. So yeah, it's people like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Worst case scenario is, like, we look at what you're already paying or what is going to happen next, and we say, you're in an amazing position, go ahead and sign that, or let's go ahead and do this and move forward with the option. Now, those words don't come out of our mouth very often, but if they do, that's great. That's typically worst case scenario. And then better scenario is you save a ton of money. Best case scenario is you save a ton of money.
Yep. All right, Colin, thanks for coming on, and catch up soon.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.